Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and look with me in verse number 12. Chapter number 5, verse number 12 says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Father, I love you tonight. God, you know the need of our service. I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight as we look into your word. I pray, God, Father, as I've said many times, that it just wouldn't be words on a page tonight, but God, I pray that, Lord, through it, you would help us, you would encourage us, you would strengthen us. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to grow in your word, Father. I pray, God, Father, that you would help us to grow spiritually at our church. Father, I thank you, Lord, for, God, you growing us in numbers. God, thank you, Lord, for such a great crowd on Wednesday night. But God, I pray, Lord, that we would also grow spiritually. God, may we mature in your word, and we'll be careful to give you the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look into these verses, and I primarily want to center in on verse 16 on here in just a few minutes and talk to you about some things that should be in every Christian life. Some things that should be in every Christian's life, in every saved person's life, there are some things that should be there. But by way of introduction, I want to go back to verse 12, 13, and 14 and give you a little thought right there out of that because it's very interesting. You know, sometimes it's hard for the preacher to say some things because he is the preacher. And a lot of times, Brother Ramsey, you understand what I'm saying. It's hard for the preacher to say something about the preacher when he's the preacher. You understand what I mean right there? But it's not that the preacher's saying something about the preacher. It's that the man of God is expounding on the whole counsel of the Word of God. And if he's bringing it out of the Word of God, it's not necessarily just about him. It's about what God says about the position of the pastor in the house of God. Amen? So let me show you two or three things that he talks about the pastor here and some things that you should know about the pastor. Look at this in verse number 12. He says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Can I say this to you about him by way of introduction? You should acquaint yourself with him. You should acquaint yourself with him. What did the Bible say? The Bible says that you should know him. He said to know them which labor among you. To know them which labor among you. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. You should know the man of God. You should know something. You say, "Well, preacher, I've just never been around you, and I just don't know much about you." Well, that's not my fault. Are you with me? You asked me to do something with you, and I promise you, unless it's illegal, and it depends on who you are, I might even do that. But listen to me just a minute. There's honestly, if you count everybody that comes to our church occasionally and regularly, we're up in a 225, 250 people. So it's hard for me to come to each individual. But if you come to me and say, hey, preacher, man, can we go eat breakfast one morning? I'd just like to sit down and talk to you a little bit. I'd just like to fellowship with you a little bit. That's the way you get to know him. And you know what I'll do? Hey, we'll go eat breakfast. And I got one even better than that. I'll even buy, okay? And that's what he's saying right there, is that you get to know him. Think about this. You should know something about his labor. What did the Bible say? Which labor among you. And let me say something to you about the preacher and his labor. A lot of his labor you never see. A lot of his labor. Now, if you'll help me right here through some of this, we'll get to where I'm going. But you never see a lot of his labor. You know what? If you call the preacher at 7 o'clock in the morning, or if you go by at 7 o'clock in the morning and the blinds is closed at his house and he don't answer his phone, you know what? The first thing that goes through a lot of people's mind, well, he's just lazy. Why is he still in the bed? But what you may not know is that till 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, he may have been setting up with somebody at the church. They may have been somebody at the church. It was just on the verge of losing their mind, and he was setting up all night with them, trying to keep them from doing something crazy. So know something about his labor. Watch this. Know something about his leadership. What did he say? Over you in the Lord. What did he say? Look again in verse number 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. The preacher does what he does through the authority of the Lord. The pastor is not the head of the church. God is the head of the church. Can I get an amen? Right? God's the head of the church. Then it's the pastor. It's not the deacons after God. It's the pastor. Then the deacons are there to serve the pastor and to help the pastor and to be good to the pastor. And if the pastor's wrong, if he's going in left field doctrinally, then it's up to those deacons to say, hey, preacher, can we talk about this right here? Can we just sit down? Can you explain to me why you said that the way that you said that? And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. And if a preacher bows up on that and gets mad about that, then there's a problem. There's a problem, okay? But God done that, and he is in leadership with the Lord. Acquaint yourself with him, his labor, his leadership. But what about his love? What did the Bible say? He said this, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. His love. Admonish means this, to warn or notify fault, to reprove with mildness, to counsel against wrong practices. You know what the preacher does? He loves you. That's what the pastor does. He's there to love you. Know something about his love. I've said this many times, but let me say it again. If a preacher loves you the way he's supposed to, if he sees you going wrong, he's going to say something to you. He's going to sit down with you. He's going to say, hey, man, can I have a word just a minute? Man, I'm concerned about you. There's some alarms. There's some things that, man, I love you. I'm afraid you're fixing to mess up. You say, well, he don't have no business doing that. Well, he don't love you and you don't love him. If I love somebody and they come to me in the loving spirit and say, hey, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you this morning. We had devotions at the sheriff's office, and after devotions, myself and Brother Jake Kite and Brother Mark Stroud went and eat breakfast together. You know what? When we were sitting there eating breakfast, if Brother Mark would have looked at me and said, hey, preacher, Brother Ramsey, if he'd have looked at me and said, Brother Jonathan, man, I'm concerned about something. Can I talk to you about it? You know what? I'd have said, absolutely. Let's do this. Let's walk back over to my office at the sheriff's office and close the door where nobody can hear us, and we'll talk about it. And Brother Mark had said, man, I'm concerned. I'm afraid you're missing at something in sound doctrine. Man, I listen to your live feed, and preacher, you said this, and can you help me understand that? You know what I'd have done? I'd have listened with an open ear. Why? Because I know he loves me. And when somebody comes, boy, it's getting tight tonight. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, man, you've been missing some church, and I just want you to know I love you. It's not that the preacher is in dictatorship. It's that the preacher loves you. And guess what? It might be that, let me just back up and rephrase that. It's not that it might be. Your biggest encouragement to me is this, faithfulness. That's your biggest encouragement to me. You say, well, preacher, I'll call you and talk to you. I'm glad that you call me and talk to me. If I don't answer the phone, leave me a message. If you don't leave me a message, I'm not going to call you back, okay? Did everybody hear what I just said? I'm not going to call you back if you didn't leave me a message. You leave me a message, and I'll call you back. You say, well, you ought to call me back. If I called every number back that called me every day, I wouldn't do nothing, Brother Tim, but sit around and make return phone calls. Leave me a message or send me a text message, and I'll call you back. I want to say something to you tonight. Your greatest encouragement to the preacher is faithfulness. And when the preacher sees you not being faithful, and he comes to you in the loving spirit and says, hey, I'm a little concerned. You need to be real careful. You know what? You'll miss one service. You'll miss one Sunday. And then the next Sunday won't be near as hard to miss. And we'll make all these excuses. And I understand we got a lot of people in our church that works in life-saving organizations. A lot of people in our church. Tonight, and I'm probably going to miss somebody, but Brother Max sitting back there, Miss Nicole sitting right up there. Madeline's in here somewhere, or is she supposed to be? Or I think she got off work in time to be. Oh, right there she is. Brother Brian, Miss Tina. You got Miss Nicole sitting right back there, and I probably miss somebody. But they work in life-saving organizations, and you know what? I'm glad that they work some Sundays. When I was in the hospital on a Wednesday night, I'm glad that a nurse was there to help me because my wife forsook me and went back home. Having loved her present bed, she hath forsaken me. But watch this. I'm thankful for that. But I'm going to tell you, we better be real careful when we go to missing church outside of that. And when the preacher says that, when he says things to you, it's not that the preacher's being a bigot. It's not that the preacher's trying to overshadow you. It's that the preacher loves you, man. So acquaint yourself with him. Number two, let me say this. We're still in the introduction. Number two, not only acquaint yourself with him, but appreciate him. Appreciate him. Look what the Bible said in verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, and I'm going to come back to that. But look at this in verse number 13. We should appreciate him. The Bible said esteem. That word esteem is to set a high value on, to regard with reverence, respect, or friendship. You know what it is? You ought to, and again, it's hard to say some things. The church is very good to me. You take care. I don't want for nothing. The church takes care of me. But I want to say this to you with a preacher. You know what you need to do? Man, you need to appreciate him. You need to appreciate him. I've often said this, and I've even said it to individuals that have left the church and run their mouth about me. I've often looked at him and said, well, did you tell him about that night I sat all night at the hospital with you? Did you tell them about that? Did you tell them about that time I left my daughter's birthday party to come be with you? Did you tell them about that? A lot of times, man, we take one little thing, we take it out of context, and we run away from the church. Can you tell you what you ought to do? Man, you ought to appreciate him. Daddy said this one time. I'll never forget this. It was a Wednesday night. And it was in 2006. We was in South Dakota. We was on a big Greyhound bus, and we was headed back to the motel from a service that night. And Brother Robert called me, and he said, hey, man, he said, I just want to let you know you're our pastor. We voted you in 100% tonight. Daddy, we were sitting on the front seat, in the front seats of that Greyhound bus, and I looked over at Daddy, and I said, well, I'm a pastor, they said. And he said, well, I want to tell you something, son. Be a pastor. He said, if you're going to pastor, be a pastor. He said, be at your church. Don't run all over the country. You're a pastor, and be a pastor. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. You don't always have to be the greatest preacher if you're a pastor. He said, if you'll love people, and you'll be there for people. There's going to be times that you'll strike out in the pulpit, but you know what they'll do? They'll love you and they'll forgive you for that because you're there for them. Man, I appreciate the preacher for what he's done. And I want to say this. I've prayed and asked the Lord for 18 years. God, I want to be a good preacher, but I want to be a better pastor. I want to be there for people. I want to love you. I want to help you in your time of need. Appreciate him. But watch this. Assisting. What do you do with a preacher? Assist him. Look in verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Be there to assist the preacher. He said, now we exhort you. That word exhort means to call to one side, to encourage, to strengthen him. Why does the preacher need assistance? Well, here's some things that he does in dealing with the unruly. He said, warn them that are unruly. Those that do not submit and follow to leadership, the Bible says that the preacher deals with them. Why does he need assistance? Because in dealing with those who are uncomfortable, he said, comfort the feeble-minded, those who are faint-hearted. In dealing with the undeveloped, support the weak, be patient with them. So come alongside of the preacher and assist him. And I find it interesting that he rolls right in to the next verses. He deals with the preacher, and then he begins, I can say it, I would say it this way, he begins to deal with the membership, or he begins to deal with all of us. And look what he says in verse number 16. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. In verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you two or three things that you need in your life as a Christian. Number one, I would say this to you tonight. There should be praise in your life. There should be praise in your life. What did he say in verse 16? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. What did he say? He said, I could quote a ton of scripture to you tonight. I'm not going to give you a lot, but he said this. He said, in all things give thanks. What did he say? He said in Psalms 50, verse number 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. What did he say in Hebrews 13, 15? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You need to tell you something that needs to be in your life. Praise needs to be in your life as a Christian. Praise needs to be in your life. We have allowed the contemporary movement that's come on the scene today to scare us away from this word praise. And if we use the word praise, then we're going to be labeled. I'm going to tell you something. Praise is in order. And before a Baptist was on the scene, and before a contemporary movement was on the scene or anything else, people was praising God. He said, rejoice evermore. And we have so many people today that is living on Complaint Avenue instead of Hallelujah Boulevard. And the modern church, the church of our day, lacks in this area of praising God. And I'm just going to tell you, man, it's in order to praise God today. It's in order to thank Him and to praise Him for what He's done. Matter of fact, He intertwines verse 18 and echoes it again and says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You don't have to pray about praising God. You don't have to pray whether or not you need to be thankful. It is the will of God. He said it right there. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You say, well, preacher, I just don't like what's going on in my life. He didn't ask us whether we liked it or not. Matter of fact, there's some things in our life we don't have the option of saying we want it or we don't want it. There is some things that we can, but there's a lot of things. I didn't have an option when I came down with meningitis a year ago. Brother Josh, if I'd have had an option, I wouldn't have been out of the pulpit for 5 weeks and laying at the house sick as a dog. No, I'd have been in the pulpit praising God. But you know what I had to do? I had to come to a place where I thank God and I give Him praise for where I was at. At least I was still alive. At least I was getting better. And at least God is using me again now. So he says that we should have praise and we should have thanksgiving in our life, and it's the will of God to do that. I've said this before. I think that there are some people, you could hand them $1 million today and they would find something wrong with it. Are you with me? You could give them a brand hammer new vehicle that just come out of the manufacturing facility. Hadn't even been put on a truck and moved nowhere. Just come out of it. Brand new, spotless, 0 miles on it. And they would find something wrong with that vehicle. Have you ever met anybody like that? It don't matter what you do. It don't matter how good you are to them. They're going to complain about something. You know, let me tell you something. That's not the will of God. Amen. Everybody all right tonight? That's not the will of God. And some things that we need in our life, church, we need praise and we need thanksgiving in our life, and we need it in our life on a daily basis, man. Our kids ought to hear us give thanks to God for what He's done for us. You know, sometimes you see kids that's so unhappy, and then you see parents that act like, man, they're just the happiest people in the world. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking this, and don't write me off, okay? But Brother Brian, I'm thinking this. You know, Mom and Daddy must be pretty good counterfeits, because usually they duplicate what they see at the house. Hello? Man, you say, preacher, I've got nothing to praise God for or to be thankful for. Are you really that ignorant? I say, man, you're being mean. No, I love you, and I'm being honest, okay? Man, look what God's done. Look how God's blessed us. Look at the mercies of God that is new every morning of our life. Man, we do have something to thank God for. Number one, if you're saved, you're not going to hell. Man, if that's all He ever done for us, then that was more than enough. We didn't deserve that. We didn't deserve the mercies of God. We didn't deserve the grace of God. We never done one thing that made us worthy of salvation. But in spite of our faults, in spite of our failures, in spite of our mistakes in the past, in spite of our mistakes that we will have in the future, God still in His love and in His mercy chose to send Jesus to Calvary. He chose to die for our sins. He chose to be buried. He chose to resurrect. He chose to ascend on the third day. He chose to come to where you was at in your lost condition and convict you of your sin and draw you to Him. He chose to save you. And if that's all He ever done, then honey, that was enough. But far greater than that, man, yes, thank God I'm saved. But every day of my life, He continually pours the blessings out on me. Yes, I do have something to praise God for. I do. So what should be in our life? It's supposed to be a Bible study tonight. What should be in our life? Praise and thanksgiving should be in our life. But can I say this to you tonight? I would say this. There should be praise and thanksgiving. But look in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. There should be prayer in our life. Man, there should be, I got one amen right there. There should be prayer in our life. You know, so many times we use prayer as a spare tire or as a 911 service. We only go to it when everything's going south in our life. And we wonder why we have to spend an hour or two getting sin out of our life, because unthankfulness is a sin. Study the Bible, sign of the last days too, and boy, here we are. Let me tell you what should be in our life, man. Prayer. Prayer should be in our life. Prayer should be in our life. I want to say this to you tonight. How's your prayer life? And I'm not going to preach a great deal on prayer. I'm going to move on here in just a second. But how is your prayer life tonight? How is your communications with God tonight? Boy, I want my prayer life to be right. I want my prayer life to be right. I love to listen to people pray. And I remember when I was a boy growing up, and Jacob never really knew Pa Barker, but when I was a boy growing up, I remember that Pa would begin to pray, and Larry, and he was my uncle, and then Uncle Jerry, which is Jacob's grandpa, and my dad, and some of those old timers back up in the mountains, Brother Jack Woody, and some of those old timers, Brother Wishon's dad, it just left my mind right then. But they'd begin to pray, and I'm going to tell you something, Brother Josh, it sounded like thunder in the sky. Son, they get a hold of God. When they started praying, they's going to pray till they got a hold of Him. I remember I read an illustration, and some of you may have heard it, but I read an illustration about a preacher one day and years ago, and it was a little country church, and it come time for service to start, and the preacher wasn't in the sanctuary, and they waited a little bit, and the preacher wasn't in the sanctuary, and they waited about 10 minutes, and he wasn't in the sanctuary, and about 15 minutes, and he wasn't in the sanctuary, and they told one of the little girls, said, "Why don't you see if you can go find the preacher and see if he's all right?" She went back towards the back of the church in a Sunday school class, and the door was closed, and she stuck her door up to or her ear up to the door, and she come running back in there, and she said, "I found the preacher." And they said, "Okay, is he come?" And she said, "Yeah, he said he'd be here in a little while, and I don't know who's in there with him, but he said he wasn't coming unless he came with him." You know what that preacher was saying? He's simply saying, "God, I'm not going to do this without you." And we need to come to the point in our prayer life, "God, I'm not going to live my life without you. God, I'm not going to teach my Sunday school without you. God, I'm not going to preach without you. God, you called me to do this, and I've got to have your anointing." Man, our prayer life needs to be right. Well, what do we need in our life? There should be praise and thanksgiving. There should be prayer. And I don't have all these alliterated out. It's just right down through the verses, simple. But watch this. There should also be, look in verse number 19. The Bible said, "Quench not the Spirit." Quench not the Spirit. They should not only be prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Can I say this to you tonight? There should be yielding in your life. There should be yielding in your life. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" What did he say? "Quench not the Spirit." Quench not the Spirit. If you're saved today, I believe you'll understand what I'm saying. You know when you've quenched the Holy Spirit of God. You know it. Man, Brother Ramsey, I've been preaching before and said something in the flesh and knew it immediately. Knew that. Man, I'm telling you. I've seen singers get up and sing, and I want to say something to you. If a preacher ever says sing another song, you need to make sure you're in tune with the Holy Ghost. Because what the preacher just said is, "I feel you need to sing something else, but I'm trusting you to make sure you sing the right thing." You ever seen a singer kill a service? I mean, son, I'm talking about cut the lights off, lock the doors, turn the air off, and go to the house. Let me tell you the reason why. They quenched the Spirit of God. But have you ever been in a service? I'll never forget. I was at Brother Hazlip's one night, and I was preaching the next night. I went the night before just to see the atmosphere of the service, and there was a group of ladies got up to sing, and they didn't have the tightest harmony. They may not have hit every note just right, but they sung the first song, and I thought, that's pretty good. That had a little something on it. Y'all know what I'm saying? And then the mama of them said, "I'll never forget that night. God saved me." And I thought, what's she about to say? And she went to testifying and bragging on God. She had more God on her testifying, kind of like my mama, than most preachers do today. You know what happened after that? Boy, they went to singing the next song. Boy, while they were singing that next song, no, it wasn't every note hit just right. Are you with me? The harmony wasn't just perfect on it, but they had been in touch with the Lord. And you know what happened? They sung a glory down that night. Why? Because they wasn't quenching the Spirit of God. Man, it's so important in our life that we yield to the Spirit of God. Has there ever been that time God said, you need to tell that person about the Lord? And what do? We don't do it. You need to ask that person about their salvation. So, preacher, it might offend them. Ask me anytime you want to. It's not going to offend me if you ask me if I'm saved. You say, preacher, that wouldn't bother you? No, it wouldn't bother me. I love to tell people about when I got saved. You know, God may have put that person on your heart and told you to ask them about that. It might just be because they're not saved and they're struggling with going to an altar and talking to somebody. But when you ask them, it opens the door. I was talking to an individual today, and we was talking about another individual, like y'all talk about people. We was talking about another individual, and he said, such and such was saying things, and he was causing me to ask questions. That's what he was trying to trigger, because he didn't want to just come out and tell me, but if I ask him, he was going to tell me. And I said, well, did you ask him? And he said, well, after a little bit. You know, God may have that person on your heart because you're the one that could ask them to open the door for them to say, you know, preacher, I just can't tell you exactly when I got saved. There's a time when I thought I did, but there's never been a change in my life, and the Spirit of God don't work in my life. Preacher, I just don't know. Or Brother D.C., I just don't. Miss Dawn, I just don't know. Man, yield to the Spirit of God in your life. Yield to the Spirit of God. Watch this. I'll give you five or six more. No, I'll just give you one more. I'll give you one more, and then we'll pick back up again and finish the chapter out. Watch this. There should be openness to the Word of God in your life. What did he say? He said this: despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. The word despise in this verse, it means to make of no account. What Paul is referring to is those people who are guilty of hearing the Word of God preached in the power and the truth of God, and then simply ignoring the message of God. Now, I want to say something to you. You should be open to the Word of God in your life. If God's Word speaks to you, you know, sometimes, Miss Daniel, you come start playing softly. Sometimes the preacher gets up and the preacher preaches, and we bow up on it. Are you with me? We bow up on it. Who does he think he is to say something about that and walk down my aisle and preach to me like that? And in all reality, it probably wasn't him. You know what? I went to the mail the other day. There's four or five bills in there. Do you think I just jumped up, down, and rejoiced because there was bills in my mailbox? But I didn't get mad at the mailman because he was just bringing the mail to where the postmaster said to take it to. And you know, if the preacher is who he's supposed to be, and he's in the prayer closet the way he's supposed to be, and he stands up being anointed by God and preaches in the power of the Holy Ghost, and something offends you, but it come out of the Word of God, the preacher didn't offend you. The Word of God was what you took offense to. Now, if he's just rambling on in a bunch of junk, he don't have the Bible to back it up, somebody say amen right there, then it's different. But if he's in the Word of God, man, you need to be open-minded to what that Bible says. And I'm going to tell you something, that Bible will speak to you. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That Bible right there will change your life. I can preach standards to you. I believe in separation. I believe we should look different. I believe we should walk different. I believe we should live different. I believe the world should see a difference in us. But you know what? I can beat you over the head with standards and separation. But if you'll open the Bible and read that book right there with an open mind and pray before you read it and thank God for the book, Thank God for our Bible. And say, God, as I read my Bible today, Lord, I want to know more about this subject of sanctification. God, as I read your word today, God, would you speak to me through your word and show me what your word says about this. And God, if you do, I'm going to be open-minded to it and listen to you on it. Let me tell you something, that book could change your life. That book could do more for you in 3 minutes than a preacher can do in 3 hours. Amen. Be open-minded to the word of God. There's some things that should be in our life. Fathers, we...